We're back on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And let's talk some Cleveland Browns football. Hopefully by now everybody's gotten a chance to catch their breaths collectively after a 39-38 thrilling victory in Indianapolis this past weekend for those Cleveland Brownies. They moved to 4-2. As we talk about it with longtime sportscaster John Telich, who again joins us here on From the Sidelines. JT, man, what a game it was. In a game that, look, we don't have to go too deep into the recap as we move through the halfway point of the week here and stuff. But, man, the quarterback situation is something that it just becomes even more interesting now, right? Deshaun Watson exits. He takes the big hit. He sits down. It's not really entirely clear why, you know, he didn't return necessarily, or at least that's not made known immediately. And just some more confusion in that whole quarterback department. What do we kind of make of what's going on right now with that?
You know, everything just seems so odd now, Rocco. I can recall seeing, practice video of him. I think the first time we saw him was Thursday of last week, making some throws. And I remember commenting to someone else in the media, it looks like he's pushing the ball. It's like almost like shot putting it and not, having the arm go the full range of motion. And I just think we don't know on the outside exactly the extent of this injury. And there's some word coming to light that it may be more extensive and there could be, you know, a 3 to 4 week window before he really could return. There's other reports or things kicking around that they believe he could play this week. You know, if he gets through the week, throwing the football in practice. I don't know. It seemed for a guy that they're paying $232 million and gave up three number one draft picks for, the way they've handled it from the jump has just been really bizarre. And why not continue that trajectory, if you will, of the story? It just is odd with, you know, P.J. Walker playing, with them trading away a good backup quarterback in Dobbs to leave DTR alone on an island as the backup. And now, P.J. Walker, he's already had three elevations from the practice squad, so he has to be put on the 53-man roster. So just a lot of maneuverings around this whole deal. And my biggest comeback or takeaway from this past weekend is, even though they didn't play well tackling the football, they are really blessed that the 2023 defense was playing in that game versus the 2022, because they would have easily lost that game by a lot.
I will agree with that there. It was kind of incredible how they still managed to find a way to win that game. And JT, you know, one more thing with Deshaun, as we kind of joked about off air here, we don't have to go into the details of the jokes that were said, because some of those things were not family friendly between Brady Quinn, former Browns quarterback, and Quincy Avery, I believe the quarterback's coach, or at least Deshaun's own, you know, personal quarterback coach, his private coach, so to speak. Did not have those two beefing, as they call it, on social media on my Browns bingo card for this season.
Neither did I, and I think we should always, with a grain of salt, take comments from former Browns quarterbacks whose name is on the mannequin of the jersey at Brokaw Advertising Agency in Cleveland. You know, the famous one that's got about 30 names on it by now, and he did not have a distinguished career. He is a media personality in Brady Quinn. He's on the Fox show for college football, as you are aware, and he does a podcast, as it seems like a lot of folks, athletes nowadays, more and more are doing. And he was likening Deshaun to a guy that already got his money, you know, $232 million, all guaranteed, going to get every cent, and then just doesn't want to play football anymore, or doesn't have the will or the desire to. And that's quite the leap of logic, if you will, considering how much the guy, you know, has been trying to get back. And so that, you know, that war of words, if you will, escalated to the point where he makes like an off-color reference to what was already a potentially, very sensitive topic around Cleveland regarding Deshaun Watson, and on a national level as well. So it's gone a little bit too far, gentlemen. Let's hold back our comments. Let's stay off our social media for a little bit and let things calm down, because posturing to another person in front of thousands on social media. You know, it's just not my cup of tea, and I think if you have a problem, at least that's how I was raised, if you have a problem, you do it directly, face-to-face, phone call, whatever, as opposed to just sniping at each other in social media. It doesn't look good.
Well, no, and it's, you know, and it's not like it's Deshaun making these tweets, but because it's his private quarterback coach, he gets associated with it, right? So the longer this goes on, and it's not like it's this huge ordeal or anything like that, but still, I mean, the longer it goes on, it's just another distraction that they don't really need right now. So I think you're right. I think cooler heads will ultimately prevail.
And I think there's also something here that's come into the media. Most, you know, you can make comments about someone without, you know, denigrating them. And, you know, someone would say, oh, denigrating Deshaun Watson, well, what was he alleged to have done, you know, in the past several years? That still doesn't make it right. And so, you know, you conduct yourself as a member of the media, and whether these former athletes, believe it or not, they are members of the media. I know that they played the game. I know that they believe they have a better platform to say their comments about individuals because they, quote-unquote, played the game. And Brady's not alone. Ryan Clark has had some issues with people.
Yeah.
There's been other former players that have Harrison, remember, literally asking a player on the set, you know, and denigrating someone, saying that he sucks, and it's just not cool. And you know, I was just brought up differently in this day and age in being a member of the media. To yes, you can be you can make comments about players, but when you take it to the personal side, or you're just doing it to make light of someone or make them look bad, it makes you look even worse. So I just wish these guys would grow up a little bit in terms of how they handle their criticisms of football players.
Again, we're joined by John Telich on this morning's Budweiser's From the Sidelines. It's presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Browns coming off the win against the Colts, looking to continue things in Seattle, or at Seattle, this Sunday, I should say. Before talking about that, though, you know, talking about the media and some things that aren't cool, well, I'll tell you what is cool, JT. Myles Garrett, he's very, very cool after Sunday's performance. I can't recall a defensive end making too many plays like that, where you're quite literally leaping over, the field goal line and then blocking the kick. I mean, again, not too many defensive ends around the league, I don't think, are making that play.
Yeah, I mean, and when you combine, you know, having him on the field, and even for Bubba to say apparently earlier in that week that, you know, look out, something's going to happen this week, and boy, did what they drew up. there's very few athletes in this world that could pull that kind of a maneuver off, much less a guy that is 280 pounds and is a defensive lineman. You know, I could see if it were, you know, a special teams star who's like linebacker size with great leaping ability. But it's not a surprise in the sense that there are videos. Just go to YouTube and Google, you know, Myles Garrett, box jump, that type of stuff. You will see some amazingly wild stuff of this guy, you know, going up to great heights just from a standing start. So not surprised that he could pull it off. And what he's done, you know, he did in the game was well documented with, you know, the forced fumbles and leaping over the line. He's just having an amazingly tremendous year. And if I can, he is now, with 82 sacks for his career, Rocco, he is the fastest. He has the most sacks of anybody prior to age 28 in the NFL, in NFL history, or since sacks were started to be put down as an official stat. And someone by the name of Reggie White, of course, I'm joking there. This is a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest ever. He's at 82. He was at 82 at that age prior to 28, and Miles is ahead of him. So just a remarkable year that he's having. Thank goodness for him, because I don't believe the Browns win that game, because up until that game, they really were never a factor this season in contests in the takeaway giveaway department. They were always on the bottom end of that.
Yeah.
And in this game, they clearly had their way in terms of forcing turnovers and making them pay for it. He really had a remarkable game.
Well, let's see if they can keep things rolling as they head now to Seattle on Sunday. It'll be an afternoon game, or 4 o'clock in the afternoon game, I should say. Seahawks, they're 4-2, 2-1 in divisional play. They're coming off a 20-10 win against the Arizona Cardinals, who are having a bit of an up and down year in their own right, but are mostly down for that matter. But what do we make of this Seahawks team, right? With Geno at the helm and a couple of Buckeye receivers over there, what do we make of them?
Well, first of all, it's a loud place. I think that's well documented. Seattle's coming off that win over Arizona. They didn't really show much on the offensive side of things. And they won 20-10 over Arizona, who's obviously having a really struggling kind of a year. They don't have their best pass rusher. Nwosu is out. He has a pec injury, and you won't see him for quite some time. And they will miss that because not only is he very good at getting pressure on the quarterback or getting some sacks here and there, he sets the edge pretty well. And so, you know, this could be a game where Browns running backs, are certainly going to need it if PJ's starting, or even a shaky Deshaun who hasn't looked good in a while, they will need that. And so they got to be able to run the football because his backup, Daryl Taylor, not really proficient in that area. So it's an opportunity. So many moving parts going into the game, though, Rocco, because we still don't know exactly what's the deal with Deshaun. We're talking here around midday on Wednesday, and my goodness, that soap opera could change directions five times before Sunday afternoon. So just stay tuned, as they say.